The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
At it again. It is Sunday morning. You are joining We the People Radio with your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and our engineer, Bob Martin. And Bill is out in the lobby doing whatever it needs to be done to keep us on track and keep us moving in a, not forward. We don't use forward anymore, do
it's
we?
It's the F word.
Yeah.
We don't use the F word.
Yeah. Hope, change, and forward.
They're all
destroyed
dead to us.
Destroyed in the English language. We don't use those words anymore.
No, we don't.
Anyway, if this is your first time joining, and I hope you are listening out there far and wide.
We're moving ahead. How about that?
There you go. I like it.
What about onward, the Western term?
I like it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, our wagon train term.
Onward,
remember?
Upward, and westward.
Remember onward?
Anything but forward. So we talk about everything under the umbrella of fiscal responsibility on the part of our chosen leaders.
And boy, do we need our umbrellas today.
Adherence to the Constitution.
We need an umbrella for that, too.
And limited government. And today's show promises to be a real nail-biter. And if you've been sleeping really good at night, well, those days are over.
Yeah. You think the wind was howling last night?
Yeah. Wait until you're done with this show. And we've got two of our guests on the line already. And just before we jump to them, and I'll let Aaron do the introductions, normally we chit-chat, but I'm assuming we'd like to get to both of them because they both called in early. They actually got here about the same time Bob and I did. And Aaron, again, was the last person here. Even our guests beat you to the studio.
How is that? Oh, I have to
Although you do look lovely.
I forgot I have to go to this tea at noon, so I couldn't just, you know, throw on stuff and come running
over. Oh, you're going right to the Republican women's tea.
Yes, I have to go to the Republican women's tea, which meant I had to wear fancy clothes.
Well, I'm going to go home and change
this
first.
This is fancy as it's going to get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
if you want to join us, jump on wethepeopleradio.us. You will find our webpage with all the information about our guests today and links to every show that we've ever done that you can send out far and wide. You can call in at 530-605-4567. And please join us on the chat room. It's usually pretty entertaining. That's a show in and of itself.
It is. It's always good. And our friend Ken Delfino, who introduced us to Dr. Rapacki, just called, and the storm has taken out his internet.
Oh.
So he's at home in a...
Is he so bummed?
Is that you laughing, Lyle?
Yeah. No. Ken's been having problems with internet for the last month, I think.
I know, and I said, well, if you have a smartphone, you could listen on that. He goes, well, I don't want him tracking me. I was like, well,
I think it's a little late.
There are trades to be made.
They know who he is.
I know. I'm like, Ken, just go to Verizon, get a different phone.
Yeah, we're all on a list.
So anyway, he's scurrying around trying to find an alternate because he's outside the listening, you know, he's outside our listening zone. So he'd have to listen online, I guess, for people that are going, what is she talking about? He can't catch us by radio. So anyway.
But he's still in the area of the storm.
Yeah, but he's down by Sacramento, so he's frustrated out of his mind.
As for those listening around the country who don't know, we're in the bullseye of this major Northern California storm. That we're kind of in a lull at the moment, thankfully.
Yeah, we caught a little break. So anyway, all weather reports and missing listeners aside, we'd like to kind of get right to it. None of us have ever spoken to these guys yet. We're going to listen just like you guys, and hopefully, Bob's already up on all this.
I've spoken to them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, Bob.
Yeah, and Aaron and I were talking about...
That's why Bob has all the buttons on his side.
And Aaron and I were kind of chatting about this the other day. We realized that so many of the guests that we have on have information that we have heard or hearing for the first time. And so a lot of times the questions that we ask seem to kind of mirror the questions that callers would ask.
Sure.
Which saves them the trouble of calling.
Yeah, we don't want to be smarty pants. We just want to listen along like everybody else. So we will be speaking today with Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Senator Chester Crandall from Arizona. And he is a state senator, and he was just elected. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Okay, so you know what? We have long bios for you guys on the webpage, and you guys have some really fun credentials. Our topic today is basically border security and Agenda 21. And anybody in the last, you know, week or better that I've told about that has said, oh, I mean, you know, I think it's something people haven't thought about. So we do a lot of programs on Agenda 21. We've done a little bit of stuff on the border, but nothing really good about border security. So you guys are going to take, you know, the border security, amplify it by a zillion, and then tie it to Agenda 21 that people are either well-versed with or just learning about. So, you know, if you have acronyms and stuff like that, you got to make sure and tell us what they mean. We may not know. We're not security people. Obviously, we have smartphones, so we could listen to the show on those. So we don't care if they track us. We're knuckleheads. So who wants to start? How'd you guys plan this out?
Well, I'll go ahead and start. This is Lyle. Not very often do you get to upstage a senator, but I'll take my chances. that will cost me later, I'm sure. He'll hold a meeting or something.
You do it every day.
He'll hold a secret meeting.
I've been very fortunate to be able to provide intelligence briefings to the Arizona State Senate and members of the House of Representatives for the last almost 2 years now. And when I began, it was to discuss really specific issues dealing with our southern Arizona border and the collapse thereof. When I began my briefings, it was to Senator Sylvia Allen and Senator Judy Burgess, who both were and Senator Steve Smith. All three were serving on the Senate Committee on Border Security and Arizona Sovereignty. And I hesitantly began to share with them some items because I thought they already knew about it. And in the course of my initial briefings, I found out that they really were lacking in a number of items dealing with our border. Most people know there's a drug problem. Most people know there's an illegal immigration problem. Most people know there's firefights on the border. I mean, this is kind of pretty standard stuff. And if you go back 2 years now, even then it was still standard. Today it's pretty commonplace. But as I began to share with them about the tunnels, as I began to share with them about the sophistication of the communications, the weaponry, the assassination teams, things of this nature, I could see their eyes just really kind of glaze over. And I realized that they had not been properly briefed on matters. So for several weeks, I began to share with them detailed information that really would make a difference in Arizona attempting to secure its border, but also secure the sovereignty of our state and the welfare of our people. Somewhere in there, a couple of weeks into this, as they were really grasping the significance and the depth of all of this, I hope, Senator, I hope I won't get in trouble with your colleagues, but you can almost see them really saying, you know, we really now have something to grasp onto that we're really going to take and run. And I can almost see their excitement. And it was at that point in time I said to them, if you really go down this trail and really begin to attack the issues related to the border, you realize you're going to have to address the collapse of our sovereignty. And by that I mean that not only the collapse of the border of Arizona, but throughout the whole Southwest, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, as well as what's really behind that, which is basically the collapse of the sovereignty of the United States. And once again, their eyes kind of glazed over. And I said, okay, that's just too much to nibble on right now. Let's just stick with the incursions across the border and deal with tunnels and submarines and planes and things like that. And I'm sure most people now know that the Mexican cartels have employed, including Venezuela and other countries, for the movement of drugs, submarines, light aircraft, things of that nature. But at the time, 2 years ago, a lot of that was pretty new, pretty quiet stuff. Not many people knew about it. As they began to hold hearings in the Arizona State Senate on this matter and how to address it, I was also beginning the groundwork of discussing Agenda 21. Now, several of them had already heard of Agenda 21, and the senator here is very adept at it. And when you start to listen to him, You're going to find out that he's really a leader in the state of Arizona when it comes to addressing the loss of property rights and all that's contained within the Agenda 21 diabolical scheme. But I had not met him yet. He was in the House. Excuse me. And so as I began to address Agenda 21, I showed them how it's really in juxtaposition to one another, the border and Agenda 21, because behind it is really a devious movement. It's not a conspiracy, because that was one of the questions I raised and answered for them, is that you're going to be accused of some conspiracy theory. And this is not. This is a very well thought out, very detailed plan, 50-year program that's culminating in 2012-2013.
Yeah, and it's no theory.
And this was 2 years ago. I apologize. This was 2010, and I was briefing these senators.
Okay.
So I said it will culminate in 2012. About 2013 is primarily, I say, you'll see the real culmination of it. And so if you're going to attack the issues associated with the border, you've got to also include Agenda 21. So that's kind of how we got going. They asked me, several senators and representatives asked if I'd go out and speak across the state to begin to educate our people. And that's how I met Senator Crandall. He represents the northeastern part of our state. And he, Jesse, you remember that night? I got started late because there were some issues. And he sat right in there with Representative Barton. And I think we got done with that meeting around 11, didn't we, Senator?
It was
a long night. But nobody moved. They sat in there and were profoundly affected. I then met Senator Crandall and began to discuss with him. And one of the first things I asked him was, I'll be glad to talk with you with all due respect, but I really don't have the emotional energy to sit here and debate with you. And if you really just want to debate this stuff, you know, God bless you. I just don't have the time. I just don't have the emotional energy to do it anymore. And we sat in Senator, in a little back room there.
Yeah,
and,
it was
about an hour, wasn't it?
Kitchen of the fire department. Yeah, it was an hour or more.
We sat in a little back room that night for an hour or more, and really across the table from one another. I don't think we were more than a foot or two away from each other. And boy, we looked in each other's eyes. And what I saw was an individual who was not only researched in this area, but absolutely dedicated to alerting the public and coming forward and taking whatever prudent steps are necessary to defend the state of Arizona and protect our welfare and our sovereignty. And from that moment, I just became a real fan of the senators. And and since that time, I've had the great privilege. I don't know if it's been a privilege for him, but I've had the great privilege of spending throughout the summer months here private time briefing him and some colleagues on the state sovereignty issue. So that's kind of a little bit of a background on how we ended up here today, except for your city councilman over there, Ken Delfino, Colfax, City of Colfax. He got a hold of me because I was helping a couple of other states in their sovereignty issue. Alabama was one of them. And there was a national call, and he happened to be in on that call. And he contacted me after that and said, you know, we're really, really fighting the fight over here in California. And even though we're taking on water, we're still fighting the fight. And could I touch base with you? And that was a few months ago. And since that time, the councilman, myself, Heather Gass from Northern California, and your Sheriff John Lopi over there in Siskiyou County have worked together to exchange information, but also try to figure out what can we do to further alert the populace, not only in California, but definitely in Arizona. And a few weeks ago, there was a briefing in the Arizona Senate. Senator Crandall was one of the hosts, and we had several other senators and representatives. And I was asked to coordinate this briefing, and we had about 65, 70 individuals from across the state of Arizona, all Tea Party leaders, some Republican Party leaders, and then other independents who sat in the Senate hearing room and listened to Councilman Delfino, Heather Goss and Sheriff Lopey brief us on what California has already gone through and what we here in Arizona are facing now. And that was just a profound couple of hours that day. And the people walked out of our Arizona Senate rather moved. And Heather is coming over in January, and we're going to barnstorm the state in 4 days to alert Tea Parties all over the state and Republican parties. And that's being set up even as we speak. The plans have been made. The dates have been set. Heather's agreed. And so we're going to make a quick trip around the state of Arizona in about 4.5 days to do the best we can to show people and teach and leave information with people as to what's taking place and the loss of our sovereignty. And that's a good place to start with the senator, because he just wrote and championed a proposition, 120 here in Arizona, to deal with state sovereignty issues.
Okay, and before we start that, let's take a quick break, or we'll have them all bunched up at the end of the hour here. We are going to return with Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Senator Chester Crandall from Arizona in 2 minutes. Grab some coffee. We're here at We the People Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but among the clouds turns the rifles into silver on the border. On the border. On the border.
And we're back. You're joining We the People Radio. Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, Bob Martin. And our guests, Senator Chester Crandall, State Senator of Arizona, and Dr. Lyle Rapacki of the SentinelIntelligenceServices.com. We're talking about Agenda 21 and border security and how the two are related, and our state and national sovereignty. Always a good topic and always at the forefront.
Exactly. Yeah, state sovereignty is in short supply right now. So, Senator, hit us between the eyes. What do you have going on down there?
Well, a little disappointed in Prop 120 didn't pass, which basically would put in the Arizona Constitution that Arizona was a sovereign state and that we would manage all the air, land, water, and all of our natural resources within our state boundaries. But people in the state of Arizona are afraid they're going to lose the Grand Canyon and some of the other things. And even our governor, to the point, said we don't have the resources to manage, the national forest, or the federal lands, which is about 42% of the state of Arizona that we have no access to, basically. And so it's a real problem for us. And this border security, part of the problem that we have is the federal lands that we have. We have a tremendous amount of set aside wilderness area down along the border that even the Border Patrol can't go in and monitor and patrol the border because it's restricted. And it's a travesty in my estimation that the Border Patrol has to go to Congress and petition the right to patrol through some of the most porous borderland that we have in the country. And I think it's a safety issue to the people of the state of Arizona, with all the people that are coming across and even to the point of looking at I just read a report from the U.S. Congress on the things that are happening, the Al-Qaeda and the Hezbollah and all of those that are starting to infiltrate. To me, it's a huge issue for national security that we should pull out every stop we could to secure that border and make sure that none of this is going on. However, it seems to be one of the things that is put on the back burner. For what reason, I have no idea. Well, I do, but I'm not going to, you know, speculate why that's there. But I think our people, you know, the Agenda 21 issue, the loss of property rights, the taking over the federal government, and the environmental movement that has brought all this on to allow these kind of things to start happening. We've got to educate our people. We've got to get them fired up and start fighting back, because we're losing all the rights that we have by gradual encroachment. And you know, the courts have ruled in favor of the federal government on many issues that, you know, the Tenth Amendment right now has no meaning. You know, the states are afraid to fight back because, well, it's the federal government, and the federal government is in control of everything.
Well, and you know, look at what happened to the state of Arizona. You got sued by the federal government.
Right. That's exactly what I'm saying. When you tried to enforce federal law. And the sound bites that they use. I mean, it's terrible, but, you know, the biggest pushback I got on Prop 120 is that, oh, we're going to sell the Grand Canyon. You know, that's a national monument. That, you know, and I'm saying, wait a minute, guys. It's in our state property. It's, you know, when we became a state, the federal government should have given, like every other state east of Colorado, should have given us our sovereign right over the property that we have and let us to do what we needed to do with it. But because of political things and the mess that we're in with the management of the federal government, people are just people are indoctrinated to the fact that if we don't have the federal government, we can't do anything.
Yeah, and we all know that they're so good at running everything that
less is more. I tried to explain, and you know, $27 million is collected at the Grand Canyon every single year. Well, why isn't that $27 million going to the state of Arizona? Because it's generated here.
Do you get any of that?
The people of Arizona. And their argument is, well, you know, it basically is because we're getting all the tourism. Well, give me a break. you know, it's in our state. They can still call it a national monument. They can call it the seventh wonder of the world if they want to, one of the seven wonders of the world. I don't care what they call it, but it belongs to the state of Arizona, and we should be recognized for that.
And there are movements now going on with several other states where they're really pushing to get back control of the state land.
Well, we have to. You know, we're at a huge disadvantage to every other state in being able to provide the services and things for our children. You know, it cuts down on our education, and no wonder Arizona and some of the other states are way below in the amount of funding for K-12 education and universities. We don't have the private property capacity to be able to support. Like all the other states, if you go east of the Colorado border, have the private property. Look what North Dakota's doing with all of their private property.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically thumbing their nose at the federal government, and say we're going to drill and we're going to sell oil and you know, we don't care what you say.
Now, have they pushed forward with no concern as to the consequences from the federal government? What's the difference between the Dakotas and any other state fighting for state sovereignty? I mean, why have they shoved through all the regulations and they're going forward anyway?
Because in North Dakota, they have probably 80-85% private property. And so their issue is not as great as it is in Arizona, where, you know, when you take in the reservations that we have here and the federal land that we have and the state trust land that is tied up through the Enabling Act, which is still a document that holds us accountable, even though we're a state. We only have between 13 and 17, and depending on which organization you're looking at, 13 to 17% private property in the state of Arizona.
Wow. So
we have Gila County, which is one of the larger counties in the state of Arizona, only has 4% private property to run their county on.
And
now, you know, that puts you at a huge disadvantage.
Now, why the federal land grab in the West and not so much in other areas?
Well, there's a lot of history. There's a lot of history that goes along with that. As you come across, there seemed to be an arbitrary line. Jefferson, when he first started, envisioned that everybody would have 160 acres and they would farm and they'd take care of all of those. You know, it didn't look far enough into the future about all the industry and everything that is coming. But as you come across and you get to, I think it's the 32nd parallel that they're talking about, you have a huge change in the topography and the rainfall and the weather conditions and those kind of things. And when it got to there, you couldn't survive on 160 acres. And so you had the advent of the cattle industry, where they started grazing, and the federal government looked at that and said, "Whoa, wait a minute. It takes huge amounts of land to do that, and if we go ahead and divide it up like we've done across there in the Homestead Acts and those, there's going to be people that are going to have huge tracts of land, and we don't want that kind of land tied up in individual people." And so it was a philosophical change. And the other thing, when the Civil War came, they started seeing the mineral rights that you have. And that's why Nevada was granted statehood. And 85% of Nevada is tied up in federal land.
Mm-hmm.
And the mineral rights. And so they saw a huge benefit to having all the precious metals, like such as in California, the gold rush and that. That we need to have those, and we need to be in control of them. And there's right now, according to my staff in Phoenix, $9 billion a year being paid in royalties from mining to the federal government out of the state land. I mean, out of the property that they own within the state.
Well, it's a good thing you guys don't need that money.
Yeah. Well,
what a break.
I'm at the point right now of looking at it. If they're going to be private property owners in the state of Arizona, then they ought to be taxed and
exactly.
treated like private property owners. You know, we've had two major wildfires in the last 10, 12 years here in the state of Arizona that's devastated almost 2 million acres. And, you know, the smoke and the devastation of the private property and that, why aren't they paying for that? Why aren't they coming back and reimbursing the state for the loss of all of that, and the resources that are here in the state boundaries? If they're a private property owner, then they ought to be paying for it.
Yeah, and we want to go back a step here, and why aren't they taking care of it? If they're a private property owner, they should be forced to take care of it like the rest of us.
You're exactly right.
Let me circle back on something with you.
I don't know if you guys are dealing with the PM10 issue in California. I'm sure you are. It's all over with the Clean Air Act, the PM10.
We have a different. We have several. We couldn't be happy with just one. We have multiple pieces of legislation. You know, just
here's one of the points
cover
that I'm
going to
raise this session that we need to take a look at is they own 42% of the land in the state of Arizona. Why aren't they contributing to the cost of keeping PM10 down?
And what about property tax revenues?
A lot of that. A lot of that area down along the border is coming from huge wilderness areas that we can't get into or do anything with, is desert. And as the wind blows, that dust comes right up into Maricopa County, Phoenix, and those areas that is triggering the monitors they have, and we're being held accountable for it. So why aren't they contributing to the cost? I mean, to maintain it.
Well, tell me this. Now on the border where they have the wilderness areas lined out, border agents aren't allowed to go there. Nobody's allowed to go there, and that's because they might disturb, you know, bugs, bunnies, frogs, trees. Is that the deal?
That is, you're exactly right.
Okay, so we pretty much let, probably perfectly nice people who figured out there's a hole there, and then all the bad people who figured out there's a hole there, and they can all run through and disturb the bug, bunnies, frogs, and trees, but no actual law enforcement can. So you what do you guys do? You go all around that?
Post and the BLM posted on some of the land down there. It is restricted. You can't go in because of high drug trafficking. And so they have restricted people going into that area because of that. To me, that is a shame that we don't have access to our own property and the ability to use it because of a safety problem from across the border.
That they created by giving them a free and full access and locking out law enforcement, which is just counterintuitive.
Exactly.
So the border.
I see no reason that they couldn't go right down along the border.
Yeah.
Which, in fact, we don't even patrol along the border. It's 100 miles north of where the border is right now, is where they set up.
Jeez.
But I see nothing wrong with going through a wilderness area and pushing a road right along the border there that they would have access through vehicles and that to do it. To me, it's just, and it's all part of the environmental. It's all part of this Agenda 21 thing to restrict private property and to have it under one control, the federal government. I'm not sure how all the environmental groups feel like that they're going to come out on top of this when the federal government says, you've done your job, it's time for you to go someplace else, and they become like the rest of us.
Gosh, we only dream of that day.
Yeah.
So pretty much...
I'll jump for joy.
We're gonna give the country away just like piece by piece. We'll just take the edges, and we'll just make them squiggly lines, and we'll just keep moving the squiggly line up.
That's a good point.
You're exactly right. We keep moving the border further north, and they're building, according to some good intelligence that I got from... a man that I respect very well, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, they're starting to acquire land and that to build that corridor right along the border so that we have a porous border to allow people to go back and forth. Of course, they're going to come this way, but they're not going to allow us to go the other way. They have pretty good strict laws about people crossing their border illegally.
Yeah, and, of course... You know,
I'd like to follow up on what the senator was just saying.
Hey, Lyle, just to be a pain in the butt, can I ask you to hold that thought? We'll take a really quick break. I hate it when they do that on the radio. It's kind of funny to do it myself. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. Again, Bob knocks it out of the ballpark with the music. Whoops.
You're joining We the People Radio. Hey, we're talking to Senator Chester Crandall, state senator from Arizona. If you want to find out more about Senator Crandall, go to www.votesmart.org. And Dr. Lyle Rapacki. Oh, and I'm getting a no shake on the head
there. I'm not sure why the Vote Smart thing's on there.
Okay. It's right next to his name. So.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. And and Dr. Lyle Rapacki, a PhD with SentinelIntelligenceServices.com. And again, go to the webpage at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Check their bios out. They're very lengthy, pretty extensive, and we wanted to cut to the chase on the talk here. And we're connecting the dots between border security and Agenda 21. I'm really curious about the role Mexico plays in all this.
Okay, Lyle, it's your turn.
Oh, okay.
I'm just throwing it out there, and it's hanging out there for you guys
to
run with.
Well, I don't think I'll hit that ball just yet. Let me lay some more groundwork. I love the song. There used to be in Arizona. What, are you doing away with Arizona now, you guys are? That song that you just played?
We wrote a special song for you.
Jamie O'Neill, There Is No Arizona.
Yeah, wow, that hurt. That hurt.
That one did.
Yeah, that did, didn't it, Chester?
Sorry, probably going to leave a little mark there.
Crying.
It was a sad country song.
Well, you know, there should be no California because you guys are...
Oh, we're working on that.
There's got a report showing that a number of people are moving out of the Golden State.
Oh, yeah, but
Texas.
But they want to craft legislation so that you can't take your assets with you.
Yeah, I read about that. Yeah. That's pretty interesting how they're going to do that. I hear they've already got a volunteer force to start Neighborhood Watch to make sure the government knows when they're moving out.
Exactly, little rat squad. Isn't that fantastic?
I'm telling you, when I read that, I couldn't believe it. Why would anybody, unless they're getting a kickback someplace, why would anybody want a rat on their neighbor?
Yeah. Well, but you know, we've got the little FEMA, you know, we got the little FEMA 18-year-olds with their little guns, and you know, we're just living in a place that we've only read about.
Man, oh man.
We'll let you know how it works
bad,
out.
I can tell you that.
Yes, it is.
We were discussing how basically the collapse of the border is part of a very systematic plan. That plan is being implemented, maybe seductively, but in increments, so as nobody would really notice. It's sort of like the old proverb of cooking that frog in that pan of water on the stove and turning up the heat very slowly. After a while, that frog is not going to jump out of that pan. It's going to be cooked. Same thing's happening here. As the senator pointed out, and so correctly, that major portions of southern Arizona are off limits to people. They're off limits to Border Patrol. They're off limits to law enforcement, but they're off limits to citizens who historically have been able to go in and have picnics or go in and sightsee. Oregon Pike National Monument's a good example. That's just south of the Maricopa County area. Beautiful couple hundred-year-old cactus. Beautiful. They look like organ pipes. That's why they call it that. It's beautiful territory. About 75% of that property, or that forest, if you want to call it that, or state park, is off limits, and it's because it's too dangerous for people to go in there. The drug traffickers, cartels, have basically taken it over. And something the senator said is that the border, in one sense, not geographically now, if you look on a map, it's still there, but practically, it's moved 100 miles north. And we make that statement for a couple of reasons. One, if you take a look at the drug activity and other types of activity, it has moved 100 miles north of the actual geographic border. Activity is just outside of Phoenix. And if you do a map check, you'll see that that's about 100 miles north of the actual border. So we have tremendous activity, illegal and other types of activity, coming up from Mexico, actually coming up from South America, that's just outside of Phoenix, and that's basically they've moved the border 100 miles north. Law enforcement is inundated. They don't have the funds, they don't have the manpower, they don't have the firepower, they don't have the ability to deal with what's taking place. Now, this is not to discourage, or I'm sorry, to cast dispersion on law enforcement. What I'm telling you is that this is no longer your cartel people of 5 years ago, where you get somebody and you hire them for $10 an hour. You're now dealing with highly trained former special forces in the military who have come on and signed on and are part of the various cartels, especially the Zetas. And they are enforcers, and they are operating 100 miles north of the border in Arizona, and we've proven this. With very sophisticated firepower, up to and including RPGs, very sophisticated radio communications. In fact, the Zeta radio, I forget what the nickname is, but it's the Zeta radio network, that's it, the Zeta radio network. There are well over 200 radio towers throughout the Southwest, the Arizona, just across of our border there. With the Zetas, where they're able to keep in touch with their drug cartels and their drug trafficking. I found it interesting about a month or so ago that the Border Patrol was crying out because their radio equipment doesn't work very well. And indeed, that's part of the reason we had another shooting and a killing of a border agent about a month, 6 weeks ago. Because there are blind spots down there in the desert. And anybody who works radios will know that there are blind spots just about anywhere you go. But here you could do a great deal of a better job, and yet our federal government's not doing that. But the bad guys have a phenomenally sophisticated encrypted radio system, satellite-run radio system. How come we don't? They have firepower that far exceeds most law enforcement. They have other weaponry, and they have tactics that far exceed law enforcement. See, we're still trying to fight this as a law enforcement issue, and it's not. It's a true invasion by a military into our land, and they've moved the border virtually 100 miles north. One of the other things that's happening down on the border, which also deals with the collapse of our border and our sovereignty, is the influx of Islamic states, individuals from Islamic states, into Mexico. It is now stated that there's well over 200,000 immigrants from Syria, Lebanon, Iran, living in Mexico. And that came out, Georgetown University did a study about a year ago, 2011, so about a year ago. Over 200,000 Islamics. And out of that, a lot of them are of the most radical kind, which is the Salafists. And they are very anti-American hating ideologues. There is a tremendous subversion taking place in Mexico from historically a Catholic country into Islam. And what they do is they equate Islam with equality, where Christianity, they're stating, or brainwashing people into thinking it's a white man's religion. So again, I hope I didn't mislead you there, but Islam is being touted as a religion of equality, where Christianity is a pure white man's religion. This is really out of the Communist Manifesto, because that's what communism teaches, which if you look at Islam and communism, there's very similarities.
Well, Mexico threw the church out.
Very good point.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, For the Glory, that movie that was just out. Mm-hmm. We saw it in the theater a few months ago.
Very good
and
point.
And Mexico threw the church out at one point. Their government was so corrupt. So it's not a – I mean, for those people that are going, oh, that's just silly. It'll never happen. Did happen once. Lyle, I hate to do this to you. You can finish off the hour, but we've got to jam in one more break here and thank our advertisers because they still live in California and they're still in business. God love them. All right. We'll be right back. We're talking about border security and Agenda 21. You're listening to We the People Radio at KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
On the boats and on the planes, they're coming to America, never looking back again. They're coming to America, home. Don't it seem so far away? Traveling light today, in the eye of the storm, in the eye of the storm. Home to a new and a shiny place, make our bed and we'll say our grace. Freedom's light burning warm, freedom's light burning warm.
To jump right back on with Lyle, and he's going to wrap up about 3.5 minutes before we go to our top of the hour break in a national news. So go for it, Lyle.
Well, one of the things that's also happening along the border is, of course, and now we've all been reading about it, but you go back a couple of years and it was really more esoteric, not as well known. The Islamics that I've talked about and other countries that have been absolutely hatred toward America have been able to come across our border, and Arizona has been used as a gateway. There's been a lot of activity down in Texas. I think most people over the years have read about the firefights in Texas, but you just don't really read or hear much about Arizona's border. And I think the reason for that, as I've advised a lot of our legislators, is because Arizona has been a gateway. They've been keeping it quiet so they don't draw the attention here in Arizona. And what has come up and what we've identified and vetted and proven, and now on several occasions, Department of Homeland Security, Napolitano and others have had to go back and recant their statements before Congress and publicly, is that we know that radical elements have come across our border. We know that Hezbollah, Hamas has come across our border. We know that they have transported certain elements, implements of weaponry across our border. This is all known, but it's been known for several years. George Bush first was briefed on this in 2005, that certain elements have come across our border that were absolutely terrorist and had the intention of setting up terrorist programs in America. He was aware of this. He was also made aware that elements have come across to create dirty bombs and other types of weaponry. He was also provided papers, booklets, and other material left in the desert that demonstrated there was a plan called the Hiroshima Plan. The Hiroshima Plan was a coded plan to go ahead and destroy certain cities and communities in America if Iran had ever been attacked. And now we read about this in the public papers, but you go back 2005, 7 years ago, and of course that was highly classified. This is not new. This is not new. They have been aware for many years that the border is porous, that while they give a lot of lip service to providing protection for our border, that's really what it is. It's kabuki theater. While they talk about putting more resources on the border, what they're not telling you is they're removing 3,000 border agents from our border. They're not telling you that. When they talk about putting in electronic surveillance equipment so everybody feels more secure, what they're not telling you is most of it doesn't work. So the conclusion one can only make is that the United States and those people in our authorities are not serious about securing our border. And like the senator said, one can question as to why. We can speculate.
Okay, Lyle, you are on coffee break now. When we come back, we're going to talk to these guys about why they think some of this is happening, what, if anything, we can do about it, and all that kind of good stuff. So you have an hour left with these two fellas talking about border security and Agenda 21 here on We the People Radio at KCNR, 1460 AM. Hour 2, 9 to 10 a.m. with We the People Radio, your guests Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and our engineer Bob Martin. We're talking today about Agenda 21 and border security and how the two are connected. And, you know, for all of those folks out there that have never heard of Agenda 21 or you're just starting to, or, you know, your neighbors tell you that that's an extreme right, wacko hypocrisy theory, tinfoil hat thing. Agenda 21 is the United Nations agenda for the 21st century, and that is a term they coined, and it is on the United Nations website. Agenda 21 is not a figment of anyone's imagination, and fortunately, we have folks like Senator Chester Crandall of Arizona and Dr. Lyle Rapacki who are in the forefront of fighting the battle about Agenda 21, and it's becoming more mainstream, which I'm really excited about. More and more people are starting to become familiar with the term Agenda 21. And anybody who thinks that it's fake, I mean, just go ahead and search it on the internet.
Yeah,
but just go search Agenda 21 on the internet and pick a link.
It's basically a global plan to incrementally take away private property rights and turn mass land use into government property.
I was just going to say, Glenn Beck's new book is called Agenda 21, and that's doing a lot to raise awareness.
True story. And just in case you thought it was only a right-wing thing, you could go to Democrats Against UN Agenda 21.
And Rosa Corey.
Rosa Corey lays that out pretty nicely, and she's a very liberal.
And she was she just recently retired from Caltrans, California Transportation, and she actually took an early retirement because she was so busy speaking, traveling on the speaking circuit about Agenda 21 that she couldn't do both. And, you know, she was one of those people that was personally affected by Agenda 21 and saw it in her own community, which was Santa Rosa. So she's been huge.
Yeah,
in
Senator,
this battle.
Santa Rosa is way ahead of Arizona with giving it all away. So we're going to go back to Dr. Rapacki at this point because he has something he wants to set up and have the senator address. And they're on, just so you guys realize this, they're on two different telephone lines in Arizona. So anybody who's calling in, you're getting a busy signal. We're super sorry about that.
And I'm sorry that I told you to call. So,
so forget
everything
the phone number.
Either that or you can just think that we're so deluged with phone calls you can't get through. That's pretty cool, too.
But your choice is you can go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on the listen button. It'll take you to the chat room, and you could send us a message there. How's that? And we'll ask your question. All right, Lyle, hit it.
Super. Thanks. I'd like to make a segue for the senator because I think he has some really timely information to share on the Agenda 21, but also the loss of sovereignty. And then I can sit back and be quiet and listen to him. About 3 weeks ago, predicated on Senator Crandall and a couple of his colleagues, we had a meeting at the State Senate in Arizona, like I mentioned earlier, and we invited a number of leaders from across the state. And one of the things I said at that time is this, and I like to quote it, it is the duty of a state legislator to always be not only vigilant but suspicious and jealous guardians of the rights of the citizens against encroachments from the federal government, to constantly have their attention awake to the conduct of the national rulers, and to be ready, if anything improper appears, to sound the alarm to the people, and not only to be the voice, but if necessary, the arm of their disconnect. And that was Alexander Hamilton writing in the Federalist Papers, and that's one of the things that I've really welcomed by Senator Crandall and several of his colleagues. They are now standing up and to heck with the arrows that they're taking, and they are. Over here, they're being called kooks and kookified in the paper. And I was so glad to hear what you had to say about the tin foil hats, because a lot of people are still thinking this is some sort of right-wing, weird-to-do conspiracy theory. It's not. It's a very well-laid-out 50-year program, and if anybody has seen the movie The Agenda, or go to agenda.com, I don't get a percentage, just Agenda, the movie The Agenda, they'll see a very sophisticated plan that's unfolding and should be culminating in 2013. And one last thing before I ask Senator Crandall to speak, if he might, is not only is he standing up as a state legislator and doing his constitutional right, as I just read, that's what he's doing. He's protecting we the people, and that's what a state legislator is supposed to do, to stand in the gap and provide that welfare for you and for me. One of the other things that the center has researched is a New York versus United States Supreme Court case. New York versus United States, it was adjudicated in 1992, and in essence what it said is just as the separation and independence of the coordinated branches of the federal government serve to prevent the accumulation of excess power in any one branch, a healthy balance of power between the states and the federal government will reduce the risk of tyranny and abuse from either front. He has studied that case. He has studied a number of other cases that really shows legally and historically and constitutionally that a state has the right to stand up and defend its sovereignty. And so with those two things, as a legislator, that Alexander Hamilton said, every legislator has the right to perform. And that case right there that I just read, I'd like the senator to share, again, some more about how our sovereignty is being lost through the forests, through the public lands, through the transfer of private property, and then also any other insight he has, because he has already taken a number of arrows in standing up for us.
All right, Senator.
Hey, thanks, Lyle. You really know how to put the pressure on, don't you?
I'm just paying you back, Senator.
No, I appreciate what Lyle does. He provides a lot of good information, a lot of things that, you know, to help us to be there. Having grown up in the forest and having, you know, running a small cattle ranch, I see every single day how the federal government is overreaching and, you know, locking out. They claim that our federal land is for the public use and for those. But just in the last year, they've come out with a new transportation model that is closing several hundred thousand miles of roads within our federal forests, so that the people don't have access to those. And to me, that's all part of this this Agenda 21 thing of starting to close that off to limited access for people to be able to utilize what is supposed to be and claimed to be a national forest of multiple use, and we're losing that all the time. Not only losing the battle with the land issue, but we're also losing the battle with the water right issue. There's battles going on right now in the state of Arizona where Tombstone, a community, the Forest Service has basically come in and said, you don't have access to your 130-year-old water right that was established when we were a territory. And so those are the kind of things that are really taking away the rights and the encroachment of the federal government. You know, I date this back, and I've talked a lot about it, and I don't know how we remedy it, but when we lost the state legislature, we lost the 16th Amendment, where the state senators are elected at large. We lost a tremendous balance of power, because mm-hmm. now the senators, which was set up by the founding fathers to be the protector of the state and to fight for the state, when they became elected by the people, we lost the balance of power in the federal government. It is my firm belief that we wouldn't have all of this encroachment of the federal government if the state legislature still had the ability to appoint our senators. So, you know, through some amendments and things like that, and by design or by accident, whatever the case might be, the states have lost their ability to hang on to their states' rights. You know, there's been a lot of talk and a lot of things about how we get those back. And one of the things we're looking at is maybe Article 5. Maybe that's where we need to go. And I know there's a lot of opposition in dealing with that and what we're doing, but the states are going to have to stand up, and they're going to have to stand together, and they're going to have to push back and say enough is enough to be able to get this straightened out. We've gone down this road a long ways, and it's going to take some hard work and some courage and, some collaboration between states and unification between states to be able to pull this off and to get us back where we need to be.
Well, and it's easy for people to think, well, especially since we live in California, it's easy for people to think that it's only here.
But, yeah.
You know, that this is something that's only being done here. And it's funny, there's a chat going on the chat room about one of our local editors in the newspaper. And he had I had a long discussion with him quite some time ago, 2 years maybe, about Agenda 21. And at that point, we were all being painted as, you know, the lunatic fringe. And so I sent him, you know, fact-based information, not the incendiary stuff, but the really easy, logical, you know, how does this policy about bike paths connect to ICLEI, which connects to Agenda 21? I mean, made the argument, right?
Right.
And his kind of on the way to his final argument, which was let's agree to disagree, the ultimate, you know, throwdown. But on the way there, his take on it was that California was the one generating all the crazy environmental policy that was going across the country. I mean, it was like unwilling mm-hmm. to see that this was happening at a global level and that there was, quite a bit more to the picture than that. And unfortunately, though, in many cases, those are the people in our media that are informing the public You've got the Heritage Foundation, who said that Agenda 21 isn't real. And they're supposed to be the uber conservatives. So, wow. You know, we can't. Well, you know, we got to do our own homework.
And what I was going to say, at the end of the day, people have to take responsibility for educating themselves. I mean, I think the stupidest thing you can do is to read a newspaper and take that as the gospel.
Well, yeah. one of the problems that you have is the federal government has done a very good job of extortion, if you want to know the truth. You know, they dangle a little bit of money out there, and you get locked into it, and you look at the Agenda 21, part of that, it's all done through grants and through money. That you have to meet certain guidelines, and everybody is so greedy for money that they take it, not really looking at, you know, the consequences down the road, and we get hooked. And once you get hooked on that money, heaven forbid that we would ever give it up. You know, and states are like that. You have school districts like that. It's just, you know, it's an ongoing thing. The government is well versed in extortion.
Yeah, and it's funny, too, because... you know, we use the same tactics. We use the same tactics with our kids.
Sure.
You know, they start to drive. Well, whose car is it? You know, it's our car. Mm-hmm. Dumbest thing you could do is give your kid a car when they're 16. You lose a lot of control there.
Sure.
And so honestly, they hold the keys, they pay the insurance, and you know, they decide whether or not we can have a job to have money. It's an interesting parallel. We're going to take a really quick break here so we can. Not have them all at the end like we did last time. Sorry about that, fellas. We'll be right back with Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Senator Chester Crandall here on We the People Radio. You're listening to KCNR, 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
I left out of Tucson with no destination in mind. I was running from trouble and the jail term the judge had in mind. And the border meant freedom, a new life, romance. That's why I thought I should go and start my life over on the seashores of old Mexico.
Dreamboats carried the future to the heart of America. People were waiting in line for a plane.
Now they just come from Arizona.
And Aaron and I were talking about rainbows, lollipops, and puppies, and multicolored flags. And it doesn't matter if we go to hell in a handbasket, as long as everybody is smiling and
Neil Sedaka is still singing in the background.
And they can run through the meadow blowing bubbles. And in case you were wondering, my name is Elizabeth, and I provide the sarcasm on We the People Radio.
Or when we start seceding, we can play Breaking Up is Hard to Do.
I'd be Aaron, and I'd be in charge of the snarky remarks. Oh, Elizabeth just blew coffee out her nose. Yeah, you know, those songs that we all heard years ago, now we play them, and it's like, what in the hell? Oh, my gosh. So, on that note, well, let's see, back to border security and Agenda 21. Guys, where do you want to go from here?
Well, first of all, I'd like to commend you on the selection of interlude music that you're...
We told you.
Those are...
We told you.
You know, I'm back in the day. I like that.
I know. That's, you know, and Aaron and I are the same way. It's like we get to hear music we haven't heard in years.
Yeah, but you listen to it and you go, yeah. Wow, this really kind of makes me angry. I mean...
Yeah, and you...
Or you listen to songs from back in the 60s and 70s and you think how prescient they were.
That they really did know what they were doing, mm-hmm. And we just were clueless.
We just figured they were all stoned.
Yeah,
when they were writing their music, we didn't know they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah,
it's a lot to handle.
Okay, I'm going to be quiet.
It's a lot to handle all in one morning.
You know, I think where we're headed is a gradual progression. You know, in some cases, it's a designed plan by the United Nations for one world order, and everybody to be on the same playing field, everybody to be at the same level of income, and directed by the, you know, one world government, so everybody is dancing to the same tune, so to speak. And I'm not sure that I'm one that is ready to accept that. You know, I think we need to bring back the Declaration of Independence, that when governments get to the point that they become so oppressive, we need to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And I get criticized sometimes in using that phrase, but, you know, we don't have to use guns in that. We have a vote that we need to get out, and people need to become informed, and they need to push forward, and we need to have brave people stand up and take the shots, because I'm certainly getting them. And I know that there's several other around that are getting. I read an interesting article this morning on a senator from Tennessee, a Democrat from Tennessee that is running some legislation, was supposed to be voted on yesterday, I believe it was, or today, on that the federal government can seize private property any time for the best use of the federal government. So how do you like that?
Oh, well, that's handy.
If that's not Agenda 21 stuff, I don't know what it is.
And so when you talk about these things with your colleagues in the legislature, are you the minority there? I'm not sure what your makeup is there.
We have a majority in both the Senate and the House. Last year, we had when I ran Prop 120, we had a supermajority. But, you know, I had to hold that bill in the Senate. I got Judy Burgess, by the way, and Senator Griffith, who are very pro states' rights, had to hold it and had to run it through the second time to get one more Republican to pass it, even with a supermajority. We had 21 in the Senate last year out of 30. And could not had to bring it back twice to get it passed.
Ugh! And so, what was the opposition?
The opposition is that we can't take over and we can't control, and the federal government's against the Constitution. It, you know, all of the old rhetoric is that you know, the federal government's in control. We have a central government just like the King of England. And I think it's time that, you know, more of us need to stand up and take the fight that we're declaring independence again, that we're getting back to what the real Constitution calls for, and that's a balance and a very limited federal government. They need to get back doing what they were supposed to. You know, one of the big issues that is brought up that I've been reading a lot about is you know, the Congress has had a lot to do with this, because they set up agencies that come under the control of the president that actually makes him more powerful than anybody else with all of his agencies. You look at the EPA and what they're doing by creating law by regulation. They set it up. You have to obey it. You get thrown in jail if you don't, or you get fined if you don't. And that's all under the control of the president. You know, they say, well, yeah, Congress controls the purse strings, but if you never get a budget passed to where you can actually rein in some of that spending, it's out of control.
Sure. And there's no... Go ahead, Lyle.
Following up on what the senator's saying, and again, for those who are listening or maybe just beginning to grasp what this is about, this is not some conspiracy, other than it is a conspiracy in the truest sense of the word, because you've got more than a couple of folks meeting privately and conspiring to accomplish something outside the bounds of our Constitution, outside the bounds of our Bill of Rights, etc. So in that sense, it's a conspiracy. But what we're discussing here is an extremely dedicated agenda, very sophisticated, that's being orchestrated before the American public. As long as the American public has Starbucks to go to and McDonald's and Monday Night Football, they're not really paying attention to what's taking place here. The senator's discussing a couple of things here that are just terribly important. One is the confiscation of property. Well, this is not new. They passed this some time ago, and it gives the government the opportunity to forfeit under public law, and the number is 99-570. 99-570, and the executive order that goes along with it is 11490, sections 1205. So Executive Order 11490, Sections 1205, basically giving the federal government the opportunity to confiscate property without due process. And all the government has to say is that there is a confiscation of a person's property for those individuals who speak out against the government. And that's what they're utilizing now as a form of control to slap down people. This is something that was passed several years ago. It's now being implemented. Part of the other agenda here is the abolition of private property, so they can go ahead and squeeze the middle class and make them basically a lower class. There's going to be the elites and then everyone else. And so a lot of what we've been discussing today and the senator's been discussing as far as forest, closing down of forest lands, parks, et cetera, the redistribution of wealth is primarily a very sophisticated plan, not a conspiracy, other than it is with a group of people who have been meeting. But it's
well,
a,
you know,
it's a
you know we have all of these, and I can't figure out why, you know, any of the Western senators or congressmen would ever vote for anything like this. The Endangered Species Act has been the leverage has really pushed the Agenda 21. I mean, they use the Endangered Species Act, and they continue to add to the list for, you know, on a yearly basis. And they have equal access to justice, which is actually paying them to file lawsuits. And, you know, to me, I cannot imagine any legislator, giving that much power to a special interest group. But somehow it happened, and that's what we're dealing with. I mean, we have rivers that are drying up because we can't clean them out because of an endangered species.
Yeah.
And this is the thing that really hamstrings everything that we try to do here in the state to serve the most important resource that we have, and that's water, is drying up because of an endangered species.
Well, we've got forests that are overgrowing, and because we have so much timber on the land, you know, we're looking at our rivers down. They did a study down in Placer County. Just heard about this the other night. They did a study in Placer County of the exceptional overgrowth of our forests, and they've actually measured it and figured out it's creating a 25% drop in the water, surface water.
Exactly, you're exactly right. And but yet we continue to promote. We've been trying to get, because of the major forest fires we've had and destroyed 2 million acres of the ponderosa forest that we have in the state of Arizona. We've tried to put together an initiative, and it's called the FORFRI, which is the Four Forest Initiative, to be able to work with the environmentalists and all of these people to put it together. That's been in the works for about 12 years, and we still have not cut one tree. Not one tree have we cut. And they've let the contract, and it's just a total mess in how they're trying to do it. We need to get back and get away from a national run forest to a state-run forest so that we can take care of the unique characteristics for every forest that is in every state that is different. It can't be run on a national level. It's got to be run on a state level to take care of the unique characteristics of each state.
And the other part about it being run on a national level, the reason that was always inefficient and the reason states' rights have always been so important, and the reason we miss them, it's like somebody who went on vacation and never came back, we miss them because you can put pressure locally. The closer it is to the people, the more pressure the people can put on the problem. And when this is all being done in a far, far, far away land, you know, people are just flailing. I'm looking at Siskiyou County.
The other issue is you look at the population. Where's the population growth, and where do most of the congressmen come from? And that's back east on private property. And so they have no clue. They have no clue of what it is like to live in a western state where you're hampered by the percent of private property that you have to deal with. I mean, they have no clue to be able to deal with that.
Well, at the end of the day, they want the dams out. They want, you know, all these different things. So you look at all the things that are affecting rural property. And by that, I mean the price of rural property.
Oh,
you know, here are people who own land, and they can't afford to live on it.
You're right.
But
you're
they can't
exactly
sell
right.
it because it's not worth anything.
You're exactly right. Well, and here's the other issue. We've allowed the lobbyist group and the special interest group probably spend more money than anyone else, any other group, in lobbying congressmen and the President of the United States. The fact is, it was the whole lobby group that was stronger than the labor group that kept him from putting in the Keystone Pipeline. And so, you know, when you're dealing with that kind of a yeah. special interest group that has that much power, we've got to get it back to the states and get them out from under where they have to come to each individual state that we can deal with them on a better basis than what we do at the federal level.
Exactly.
But,
all right.
But Senator, do you have to take a break?
Yeah. I was just, wait. Are you reading my mind?
Can you see us,
Lyle? You're looking in this room.
Yeah, I can.
He is. That's why
really
he's Sentinel.
I really love the outfit you're wearing, buddy.
That's why he's Sentinel Intelligence Services. He's everywhere. All right, quick break. Back with you in 2 minutes here at KCNR, 1460 AM.
She must have gone to San Francisco. She must have lost her way. Posting a poster up on show in Cisco. One California day. She says she believes in Robin Hood and brotherhood and colors of green and gray. And all you can do is laugh at her.
Welcome back. I don't know what else to say.
Senator Crandall, did you recover from the song that we played
that
before
awesome.
We went on break?
Hey, I love that one.
I was going to say, if Michael, I just want to give a shout out to Michael for all the great Arizona music today.
Oh, yeah. This is Bob. This is Bob Martin. Yeah.
Oh, is it Bob Martin? Okay, I'm sorry. Bob.
That's okay.
Hey, I tell you what, it's been great.
I was cracking up. Like, yeah, we'll have to peel him off the floor, see if we can get him back in his chair.
Have Bob come over and visit his neighbors here, and if he can't get over on I-8 or I-10, just come up through the border. Everybody else does.
Yeah.
We'll get there through Mexico.
Exactly. We'll go around our elbows and get to our thumbs.
Exactly, because that's the most efficient way to do it, and don't step on any frogs, bugs, bunnies, or dirt.
Oh, well, yeah. Bob here has driven through Arizona many times en route between California and New Mexico, so I know it well.
The thing about it is if you come across the border, they don't worry about what you're stepping on. Only it's the United States citizens
that
they worry about stepping on anything.
Oh, I forgot about that. You can.
Yeah.
But they do worry about what kind of fruit I have in the car when I come back to California.
That is very true.
There are so many
true.
Jokes there, we better not even get started.
I wanted to follow up on something the senator was saying and ask him a question. I mean, you guys may think, because we've said some nice things to each other here, I'm not in his district. I can't vote for him anyway, so that's just for the record. And truly, behind the scenes, he'll ball me out just like he does anybody else.
Oh, listen to you.
I was going to ask him a question, and I hope I'm not setting you up, Senator. I don't mean to do that, but I'm intrigued by the
we like it.
You keep doing it.
Well, yeah, you guys might like it, but
it's fun.
I'll pay for it next week down the Capitol.
Go ahead, Lyle. You can't hurt me any more than Chad Campbell did the other day, so go ahead.
I know what you're talking about, Senator. The whole issue on the forest and the, just the massive, it's not even ridiculous, the criminal way that the federal government is interfering with even commerce by not allowing the forests to be used for commerce purposes. It's not just a national or an international issue. Don't you see that it's now moving into the local areas? For instance, that ICLEI Council, the International Council of Local Environmental Initiatives, ICLEI, that was set up to handle local control over environmental areas. For those of you not acquainted with it, ICLEI, you can go to their website. It's, ICLEI, ICLEIUSA.org, ICLEI, leiusa.org. This is a non-governmental agency that was formulated in the 90s, early 90s, actually in New Hampshire, if you want to go check. And we are not privy to their agendas. We're not privy to their bank accounts, to their fundings, anything. It's all off limits to us. It's like a privately held corporation, and yet they get federal funds, by the way. But we're not allowed to look at anything that they're doing. But yet this ICLEI has now worked its way in through a lot of the local communities. I think you guys have it big time over there in California, and they're interfering with the ability for you to forest your own forest. Am I correct?
Yeah. You're exactly right, and that's one of the big issues that we had up in Apache County. Mm-hmm. Here in Arizona, here just a while back, is they set up a sustainable communities. They got a sustainable communities grant from the HUD and tried to get that put through. But a very active conservative group, Tea Party group, basically went to bat and went to all the county meetings and went to all of the municipality meetings in that, and actually put a stop to that, and they actually turned around and gave the money back to HUD because of that very issue. But it was limiting what we could do in the forest, and I can tell you we do have some good forest rangers. We have one up in Apache County that is really working hard to be able to utilize some of the timber that was burned in the Wallow Fire, and be able to get in and cut that and to use it. And they've actually brought five or six new sawmills, and they have hired probably close to 200 people now, just because he has stood up to the environmental groups and says no, because of safety and because of these other reasons, we're going to go in and we're gonna cut. And so, if we could get one or two rangers with that mentality and get the enviros out of the management decisions in what makes good sense, we could bring a forest industry back that has been dead since the early 80s.
There's a Supreme Court case that's now under consideration. It's Georgia Pacific West versus Northwest Environmental Defense Center. Georgia Pacific West versus Northwest Environmental Defense Center. And it's now, or it's about to be heard before the United States Supreme Court, and it has to do with this very same thing, Senator, environmental cases, where you have the environmental wackadoo groups basically shutting down the entire forest,
right?
Because in this case, you have some runoff issues coming across forest roads,
yep.
where they clear the forest, or they cut, and then there's, when it rains, the water will come across the forest.
And there's
so
dirt
stupid.
In that water, and dirt, as we all know, is a massive pollutant. Come on, don't you guys know anything?
Oh, man.
It's all about the total maximum daily load, and we have to assess our pollutants here.
Yeah.
Pollutant number six is temperature. So we're responsible for the temperature, too.
You have some real issues that you're having to deal with over there.
That's what we call it, issues. That's definitely what we call it. Well, you know, let's circle back around on the actual whole border thing and who's coming across. Because, Lyle, you listed a cast of characters that we don't even like watching on the news at night that are all creeping in through Mexico. So if they're creeping in through Mexico and they all live down there, how upside down is Mexico right now? Is that part of your intelligence-ness?
Wow. Northern Mexico, if you take the country of Mexico, and if you'll allow me for a word picture to split it into threes, the northern part of Mexico is gone. It is literally under the control of the cartels.
Ooh.
Central Mexico and southern, where you still have certain cities that are tourist attraction, they are still functioning. The cartels have not really ruined them totally, although I just saw a brief report that the mayor of Acapulco, which is a real top tourist attraction, is stating that they're $150 million in debt, and they may be going bankrupt And part of the reason for that is because the tourists have stopped going to certain areas that historically have been safe and very pleasant, Cabo San Lucas and others like that. And the money's not coming in there, so they are having their own set of problems secondarily to the drug cartel fights in northern Mexico. That said, you've got the battle of the cartels, which is, if you'll allow me this, conventional law enforcement crime-type issues. Very sophisticated, like I said. They've employed submarines to bring payloads off, actually the coast of California, to bring it up through California. Drugs, but also light air and now armored vehicles to run the border where we do have fencing. So you have that dimension, but then you have the dimension of the Middle Eastern terrorists. I remember when we first published this 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, man, was that put down as a bunch of phooey. I remember a colleague of Senator Cranston, Senator Allen, Sylvia Allen, she went ahead and put out nationally just how serious the border problem was in the area of Middle Eastern terrorists coming through. And she just caught a lot of heck from the national media. And yet, what we did, myself and a colleague, Zach Taylor, we provided just documented intel to show that indeed the desert of Arizona was full of various implements demonstrating beyond a doubt that Middle Eastern individuals had come through and had been coming through, but also because of certain books and papers that had been seized, those were terrorists in nature. They had detailed plans of certain types of activities, and so it has been known for some time that this has been a gateway. Well, finally, enough pressure has been placed on Department of Homeland Security and Congress, Senate Homeland Security Committee and others, that they had to finally come out and look at this, and indeed they have recapitulated. The former Director of National Intelligence and others have basically come out and said, yes, we are now aware that terrorists have come through the Arizona border. But they didn't say that 2 years ago. They put us all down, made a lot of fun, and did what they could to character assassinate. They have since come back and said, yes, there is a problem, but they think they've got it managed. One could question that. We know that Middle Eastern countries, we know that Chinese right now, in fact, I just got a report last night from one of my border watchers, and she was telling me that they have got a serious problem in Cochise County. Now, that would be, the senator knows where this is. That's down in our southern, southeast part of our state. Down in Cochise County, and that borders the border, by the way. I mean, it's right there. Down in Cochise County, Arizona, they're not seeing the high influx of Middle Easterners. What they're seeing is Chinese daily coming across the border, Chinese. Now, I haven't researched that. She is very legitimate, so I need to follow up on that starting Monday. But she wrote me last night, and she said, I just read your briefing paper, which I'll send to you guys if you want. In fact, I did, Aaron. I thought I sent it to you.
I did. We've added some things to the website, okay, by the way, for people.
Okay.
And Lyle, we better take a quick break, and then you guys can duke it out and figure out who gets the last couple minutes.
I'll defer to the senator.
Right on. We'll be right back with you here at We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
This is a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue, two young lovers with nothing better to do. They'd sit around the house, get high and watch a tube. And here's what happened when they decided to cut loose. They headed down to Pueblo, El Paso. I swear they ran into a great big hassle. Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle.
I was born in East LA, man. I was born in East LA.
Oh, yeah, you're born in East LA. Well, let's see your green card, huh?
Green card? I'm from East LA.
All right, well, then who's president of the United States?
Oh, that's easy, man. That guy that used to be on Death Valley days, John Wayne.
All right, let's go. Come on.
Next thing I know, I'm in a
Everybody in there pick themselves up off the floor.
Oh, you can't hear Cheech and Chong too often. We thought we'd cut Arizona some slack. Turn the fire.
At least it keeps the theme of border security.
Exactly.
We aim to please.
You know what?
Great
it's
job,
also
Bob.
Depressing. If we had depressing music too, it would just be too much.
Yeah.
It's just over the top.
I mean, you know, you got to make fun of this stuff. How else are you going to survive it?
Yeah, you got to laugh about it because it's so serious. And I tell you what, mm-hmm. It's getting worse, and it looks like the federal government's going to play around and continue to fight amongst themselves on issues when, in reality, we ought to declare war on the border, and if we're going to bring all the troops home, they ought to be on the border and secure it before they ever start talking about how we revise the immigration policy. I think I look at those as two different things. Immigration is one, and in allowing people to come in and to participate in the American dream, and the other is to keep those who are breaking the law out. And you know, we're just opening it up, and we're going to continue to see an increase in crime and an increase in terrorist activity. Just read a report this morning that's one of the issues that the Committee on Border Security back in Washington D.C. has a real concern over, as they've audited, is that there is an increase of the terrorist groups coming into the United States. So. It's something that the federal government ought to stand up and take notice of. I find it very interesting that Governor Napolitano, when she was the governor, you know, fought the federal government on border security and helping to pay for that, and has completely made an about face since she got appointed to the cabinet of President Obama.
Does she have any friends left in Arizona?
Not very many that I can count. Well, you know, there's still some real hard-nosed liberals that go along with this whole Agenda 21 thing and everything, that we need to open up the borders and we need to become
one big happy family.
Yeah, that's North exactly American what they're
Union.
Saying. That, that
yeah, the North American
be able to
Union.
Cross borders as they come and go, but I don't see any of the I don't see Canada and I don't see Mexico softening on their interest requirements to go across lines.
Because they're not stupid.
And so the United States is the one that is giving in, and I guess we've always been the one to try to make peace. Well, not always, but, you know, it just doesn't make sense in what we're doing. We need to be, if we're going to be a nation, then we need to stand up and protect the national rights that we have, because we're gonna, you know, all this terrorist stuff is going to come in, and we're not going to have a way to stop it.
Yeah, and just in case, you know, anybody was curious if our listening audience was getting the message. Just got a message from my dad there in Las Vegas. It says, "Aaron, good show. You ruined my day. Got to get to work now and shine the light on the rodents."
That would be the senator who ruined, not me. I brought good stuff. He brought the heavy.
Oh yeah, sure. Thanks a lot, Lyle. Speaking of Las Vegas up there, if those people up there would. Go back and recall Harry Reid. Maybe we could get a budget through, and he wouldn't be President Obama's guard on getting bills passed through. And I think that's one of the things that's been very evident in getting anything done, is
yeah.
The President of the Senate not allowing any bills to come to the floor that gives the President the opportunity to use his executive order privilege.
Yeah, and that's worked out so well.
Aaron, I just sent you from the Western Center for Journalism a flash report that said the United States Senate, is about to vote on a United Nations treaty that will eradicate our parental rights, mandate worldwide abortion,
oh, yeah.
sexualized for children.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So
we'll add that, too. All right, guys, 20 minutes, and the computer's going to cut us off.
Thank
so we
you.
Will let you go about your day. We're going to have you back on, I'm sure. Dr.
Hey.
Lyle Rapacki and Senator Crandall from Arizona. Border security and Agenda 21 and all that stuff. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, and appreciate what you guys do.
Super appreciate all the info. We will be back next week with Tom DeWeese talking about Agenda 21 yet again.
Here on KCNR Shasta Reading.